Molly Bee's offers unforgettable artisan crafted cookies. Molly Bee's Gourmet Cookies brings creative, unique cookies straight to your pantry. No cookie shop required. With bold, unforgettable flavors, they're the ultimate treat for any occasion. Enjoy an exclusive discount when you use my promo code DANDZ, and you could be using that at MollyBZ.com.
T-minus 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with DNZ. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we've got a great show for you tonight.
Yes, we do.
The NCAA tournament does not have any Cinderellas this year. NFL is mulling an 18-game season with a catch. And the NBAPA regrets agreeing to the 65-game rule. Shocker. But we begin today's show with baseball is back. But it's on Netflix, which is very odd. So we've spent the last 2 months ordering up each division. So now let's talk about who we have in the championship games and who the Dodgers will ultimately beat in the World Series. What do you got?
In the words of main event Jey Uso, 8 letters, 2 words, play ball. Let's go. All right. So, well learned. Well done. That's quite the paycheck.
Thanks, Jay.
Jey Uso. Thanks for coming. Thanks for coming, dude. All right. So, as we know, you know, based on our order ups and what we've done, and if you haven't listened to our order ups, shame on you. Go listen to our order ups so that way you know what we're talking. Come on now. You have one job. But in the East, I have the Blue Jays. In the Central, I have the Tigers. In the West, I have the Mariners. Shocker. Chalk, right? The Blue Jays already have been besieged by injuries, particularly in the starting rotation. Barrios is hurt. Savage is hurt. So you just need him to be there at the end, and hopefully they will be there at the end. You hear shoulder impingement, and you immediately start to shit a brick.
That hurts, man.
Yes. Yes. Especially for Savage, who looks like an Iron Mike pitching machine anyway. So that becomes a problem. You get 3 wild cards. So in the American League, I'm looking at Red Sox, Yankees, Royals. Sounds good. That sounds about right to me. Maybe the Rangers will push for a spot.
Maybe.
But, you know, you're looking at 3 teams out of the American League East, even though we're down on the Yankees. We're collectively down on the Yankees. But I think that, since there are 6 teams making it, why the fuck not? You know, like they're still good enough since they're running it back. You know, and this team did win 94 games last year. In the National League, you know, I had the Phillies, Cubs, and Dodgers, naturally. Of the teams that are probably going to be wild cards, I'm looking at the Mets. I'm looking at the Brewers, and I think that the Padres. So I think it's more even in terms of distribution in the National League compared to the American League. Who makes it to the championship series? I think we are going to see a rematch between the Mariners and the Blue Jays.
Okay.
The Tigers could push again, but I really don't think that a lot of these teams got so much better that they're going to displace the teams that were there. As far as the National League Championship Series, well, it's the Dodgers. Of course, it's the Dodgers.
Big surprise there.
I know. And
I know.
I know. Shocker. And I'm torn here because I like what the Cubs have done. I really like what the Cubs have done. And I also, you can't discount the Mets. The Phillies, the pitching, who knows, right? Because Wheeler's hurt. He is a year older. Aaron Nola pitched like shit last year. You know,
he pitched in the WBC.
Yeah, I mean, he pitched better for Italy in the WBC compared to Philly last year, but still not great. The Brewers are the Brewers, man. Like, they do things very well, but there's nothing about them that takes them to the next level. Murphy Ball is only so good. Mm. So I think it's going to be Cubs-Dodgers. As much as I would like to say the Mets, I think their pitching is still lacking. So that's going to be an issue for me. I'm out, dog. I'm out on that. Unless they can pull off a trade and bring in a real front of the rotation on. I think that it's necessary. Dodgers beat the Cubs. Dodgers in seven. I think the Cubs can push the Dodgers. Blue Jays, Mariners, Blue Jays in seven. We have a rematch in the last World Series before the inevitable work stoppage. It is a rematch between the Blue Jays and the Dodgers. But this time, the Dodgers go down. They should have gone down last year. They're going down this year. And Les Blue Jays, representing all of Canada and all the Dodger haters out there, are going to take this one home in seven.
So Toronto gets their revenge. Canada gets their hockey revenge in baseball.
Revenge!
That would be quite the story.
And then they say, shut it down. Shut it down!
Shut it all down.
Turn God this place damn it, burn it to the ground. To the ground.
All right, so in the American League, I have the Tigers, the Tigres. I as much as we make fun of the Yankees, I think the Yankees will be a formidable team. They're a 94-95 win team. I do think the Blue Jays are going to compete, and I also think the Red Sox are going to compete. But my dark horse to make it to the American League Championship Series is the Baltimore Orioles.
Get out of here. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I just think that they have a lot of talent. They just have a lot of talent.
So and you don't think... Time out. So I'm just checking. You have four teams coming out of the American League?
No. I just think that late in the season, they're going to just make a push, and they'll get the wild card. I think they'll be That's a wild card team.
Because MLB.com put that out. They put out four American League East teams making the playoffs. I was just checking.
I think they're going to edge out, and they're going to wind up getting a wild card spot. I don't know how they're going to do it, but I think they're going to get a wild card spot. And I think they're loaded with talent. And I think the pitching will come around at the right time, and they're going to get hot late, and they're going to make it to the American League Championship Series. And then in the National League, we had the Dodgers and the Cubs, but I'm going to change it up because the other team that I think will compete with the Dodgers and compete in the National League, I believe it's the Phillies. I do think that they can, again, get hot late. You know, you're going to need career years from Wheeler, Nola,
Sanchez.
You're going to need it from Real Muto, who's bottom of the barrel. You're going to need it from everybody there. You're going to need it from Harper. You're going to need it from everybody there. This is it. Because, see, this is it. This is it. Okay? Mm-hmm. I still think they lose to the Dodgers, though. They lose to the Dodgers, and that puts a fork in them. They're done. So I have the Tigres going on in, O's run out of gas.
Okay.
So I have the Tigres getting there in the World Series and getting swept by the Dodgers.
Ooh.
It'd be a clean sweep.
And
to
this
head
is
into the offseason.
And that's how Scooba leaves. And that's
how Scooba will leave.
To the Dodgers.
To the
Most
Dodgers.
Fuck. Yes. Fucking hell.
The Yankees. The Yankees might cough up and pay him.
Ooh. Ooh. Jazz just wore one from Logan Webb.
Drafted him in the second round yesterday.
Interesting. I mean, the Tigers are... They added Framber Valdez, so they're...
Oh, their rotation's sick.
Their rotation's good.
The Rangers have a sneaky good rotation.
Oh.
With McKenzie, DeGore, Eovaldi, DeGrom. They've got a decent rotation.
If you can get anything out of Justin Verlander, like the Tigers... The Tigers will be a force to be reckoned with. Now, if you have Justin Verlander as your five at this point in his career, that's pretty good. You know, you definitely are on to something there. But this really does feel like a fait accompli that the Dodgers will end up running this thing back and at least being there in the World Series because, like we've said multiple times, they play the waiting game. They play the long game, and they get ready for their regular season, which is the playoffs. The regular season doesn't mean that much for them. It's really about seeding, right? And it's about making sure they're healthy and making sure they're in a good spot. Everybody else got scratch and claw. Everybody else has to make it through.
But they're also better than they were last year.
Right.
They actually got better. Ohtani went out in his last spring training game and struck out 11 guys. And word on the street is that he's trying to get a Cy Young this year.
Mm.
Good Lord.
We'll see. We will
Good
see.
Lord.
And then you're looking at, you know, the outfield. They went and got Kyle Tucker, right?
Yeah.
And they're not hesitant to pull the trigger on players, right? They're not hesitant to go out there and, you know, and empty the prospect tank to get who they want. So if they want Joe Ryan from the Twins, and if they want Byron Buxton from the Twins, they're going to get him.
Mm.
Right? If they want, you know, if they want, take your pick. Anybody that is on a team that is not doing so hot, Stephen Kwan, if the Guardians slide back, they can get him. Right? Like, this is what we're dealing with here. This is the Death Star. This is Thanos. Like, we're in the end game right now. Like, this is what's happening. That's what's happening. Who's going to be the Tony? Who is going to be the Tony Stark with the Infinity Stone? And who is going to snap this motherfucker?
That whole process took about 5 years, though, just in case you're wondering.
Well, you have to go through the metaverse, and you have to, you know, Ant-Man has to do that in the quantum realm and all that fun stuff. But, you know, it happens.
Web is getting lit up right now.
Oh, shit.
Round and round we go. Anybody want to get an out?
Okay. Oh, by Dominican legend, Austin Wells. Excellent.
Blackata. Blackata. Dominican legend.
Blackata.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto, we really care about what's under your hood.
Aaron Judge was booed during a spring training game at home in Tampa a few days ago. You know, he's opening the season and apparently not too shabby right now out in sunny California, but at home in Tampa, ooh, he heard the boo birds. Majority of the boos came from visiting Oriole fans, as is expected, but some boos were coming from Yankee fans. This was a spring training game in March. Is booing during a spring training game fair?
I think it's fine. I mean, when you're one of the best players, and he is, he's one of the best players in the league, let's be real. He's a top five player, top three, arguably top two, right?
Yeah.
You know, he didn't come through in the WBC, so people are giving him some flack for that. There were a lot of Orioles fans there that just don't like him. My God.
Oh. All right. That's.
They're hammering the slow crap.
I think your arm can stand the strain of throwing a fastball.
So I think it's fine. I mean, it comes with the territory. It comes with the territory of being, you know, a New York Yankee, right? You're going to get booed all around the country wherever you go.
But from your home fans, though?
I don't know. I think the majority of it were Orioles fans, but a lot of people are also a little frustrated with he hasn't delivered a championship. He played like dog shit in the World Series. Even in the WBC, a lot of strikeouts. He strikes out a lot. A lot of people saying he's not clutch. I think he's a very good player. I think he might be the best right-handed hitter of our generation. Maybe even the best right-handed hitter ever. But, I mean, Listen, you pay the money, you go to the games, you're allowed to boo. I think it's a little ridiculous that it's this early. because the WBC was played so early, like, you know, in spring training, like, he's not in mid-season form, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But I think it's fine. You paid your money to go in there. You can boo. But then don't be upset when he doesn't sign autographs. Like, don't be upset when he doesn't talk to the media or he doesn't give you the things you're looking for. I mean, that's it. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm on record saying that, you know, spring training, NFL preseason, it's Diet Coke, right? It's not the, it doesn't get you where you need to go. It's very nice. It's very nice. I went last year. I went to Port St. Lucie with Gil from Fuck Clout. We hung out and it was a blast. It was an experience. Shout out to Fuck Clout. Watch those merch drops. But it seems a bit excessive to boo your player at home. It's one thing if you booed him if it's opening day and he struck out five times like Giancarlo Stanton did. Sure. Okay. If there was performance that warranted a smattering of boos because he's playing like dog shit, sure. But what are we really booing him for? Because he's the captain? Right? Because this is one of the, if not the longest droughts in Yankee history in terms of winning a World Series. We're up to 16 years. Okay. Right. That's fine. But do it when the lights are on bright. Like, if you're going to do it when the games matter. Don't necessarily do it when, you know, you have, you know, Aaron Judge is hitting up against number 96 from the Orioles, who's just happy to be here, and he's going to Bowie. You know, he's going to go to friggin', you know, he's going to go to Aberdeen. Like, a guy is going to be bagging groceries in a couple weeks. Like, do it when the lights are on bright, my friends. Like, it just seems like, you know, you emptied one out of the chamber for no reason. I feel like they're going to do plenty. The Yankees will do plenty that will piss you off this year. They'll look unbeatable, and then they'll have like a six-week span where they're making you rip your hair out, and you're like, how the fuck do I root for this team? Fire everybody. Boone, Cashman, Fishman, the guy who puts the cheese on the nachos. Get rid of them all.
All of that while they're in first place and have like a 60-plus run differential.
Correct. And then they get lapped by the Red Sox and the Blue Jays because they don't make trades because getting the guy back from the IL is as good as a trade. Where have we heard this before? Oh, yeah. Every year for the past like 5 years.
And they love their prospects.
They do love their prospects. Like Jason Dominguez is a 28-year-old
prospect
plus.
Huggers.
He's a prospect hugger. 100%. You waited too long on him. You're going to wait too long on Jones. You're going to wait too long on Lombard. And you ain't going to get shit. LaGrange.
I think they should move Jones because they just don't need that type of player.
No.
The Dominguez thing, I don't get. I'm pretty sure that has all to do with qualifiers, right? Because they're allowed to send him down, I think, 3 times.
Yeah, I think this is his last option year.
Right. So I think that's what that's about, in my opinion. Because I know you're paying Grisham, but...
Right. I mean,
isn't the future Dominguez? Isn't that really
Dude, he's 28.
What we've been waiting all this time for?
He's old. He's getting older. You know, it's just like, come on now. Right. He's become, it's becoming your, I said he was a bloated Melky Cabrera, and I'm starting to look right.
Is like, if it's like that, then trade him. Like, what are you keeping him for? Don't Clint Frazier this guy, that poor man. You know, he just wanted to play. He just ruined his whole life.
Well, then again, I mean, also Clint Frazier had the problems with concussions. Oh, Jason Dominguez is only 23. Like, he'll make it back. But, you know, he may have run his race here. And if, you know, he can get you, if he can net you something of more value, like, you should do that. Because what's he shown here? Like, he's proving, he's showing to be a change of scenery guy. He can't play the field very well. Outside of hitting for power, what does he really do well?
Isn't he fast?
Not particularly. There are guys like Caballero's faster than him. Jazz Chisholm is probably faster than him. Volpe is faster than him.
The guy in the one train's faster than him.
The guy, I mean, the guy who plays chess in Fort Washington Park is faster than him. It's just, you know, it's. Yeah, I think that they waited too long on him, and now there's tape on him, and the bloom is off the roads.
Because so Volpe's not even playing today, right?
Volpe's got a labrum tear. He's still recovering from that. He had surgery on the offseason. So it's his non-throwing right shoulder. Non-throwing, so his left.
Oh, that still hurts. I've had it in my non-throwing shoulder. It's awful.
Yeah. Oh, it hurts like a bitch. But, you know, and he's got to swing the bat. Like, what's he going to be? But, you know, as far as... You know, Yankee fans venting their frustration early. Let him do something first. Well, you know, let something happen. What, you booing him because of the World Baseball Classic? Is that what's going on here? It's like, boo, you did exactly what we thought you were going to do in the World Baseball Classic. Boo. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Elevate your protein game with Clear Whey Protein Powder. Lactose-free, sugar-free, and refreshingly delicious. Perfect for a flavorful, protein-packed boost. That's Clear with a K. Go to clearprotein.com, enter promo code DNZ for 20% off any product. That's clearprotein.com. Clear with a K.
Well, moving on to the NCAA tournament was this weekend, and despite being excitement, there are no real Cinderella stories. Miami, Ohio, Hofstra, Long Island, Queens, they all went down with only one win between them. Does the lack of the underdog make the tourney less appealing? By the way, I believe both of our brackets are still looking okay.
We're still looking okay. I got 3 out of 4. You have 3 out of 4. I know Florida messed you up, I think.
Yeah.
Liz Staple is still looking okay. She's got 3 out of 4 in there. She's in third place with 33 points. Kudos to you. You're in first with 37 correct answers. Correct picks. I have 35. Liz Staple is 33. And Adam Simchak, shout out Adam, you have 34 correct picks. Awesome. So all of us have... are running about 75% of our final four is still there. Does the lack of underdog make the tourney less appealing? For the casual fan, absolutely, because you want the Cinderella story. You want the old Gonzaga. You want Valparaiso and Bryce Drew. You want Princeton. You want UMBC. You want a story.
George, right? Mason.
George Mason, Illinois, Chicago. You want to see VCU from a few years ago, Shaka Smart. You want to see this. You want to see these little mid-majors, Gonzaga, before they got big. You want to see if they can hang with the big boys. And anytime the Blue Bloods get a little scare in them, it makes people pay attention. With the lack of underdog, who is really invested now besides the gamblers and the alumni? Honestly, that's right. It's gamblers and the alumni. That's right. So it absolutely makes this tourney less appealing because you're losing all of the casual eyes. And it just goes back to the fact that college basketball and college sports in general is broken. and it's all due to the NIL and the influx of gambling money, and it needs to be reined in. And until that happens, the Miamis of Ohio's, the Hofstras, LIU, they can get into the tournament, sure. But can they really compete? Right? I know there's High Point. Lob City from Florida Gulf Coast, yeah. But, you know, like, who was the biggest upset? High Point? I think that was it?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's it? What are we talking about here? And, yeah, it just wake me up when the Final Four starts. And I guarantee you there's going to be relative chalk at the top. Especially like now that BYU is a fucking BYU totally fucked me over. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, that was surprising. But DeBanza, I mean, he did everything he could do.
Yeah.
He was amazing. I don't know if you even watched. You watched that game. They had no answers. They could not stop him from scoring. It was unbelievable how good he is.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't know. I'm different. I don't really like that kind of upset. I'm not interested in that. I want to see the best teams play each other. And yes, it's a sweet story, and it's very cute, and it's very nice when George Mason gets to the Final Four, or, you know, VCU and Shaka Smart make it to the Elite Eight or the Sweet 16 or what have you. But, you know, basketball is the one thing where it's just one game. You just got to win one game, and you move on. And so you can have a whole season's worth of accomplishments. We saw this with Virginia, you know, where they were the number one seed, and I think they only had two or three losses that season. They got they were the first one seed to ever get beaten by a 16. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. I'm not interested in that. You know, because I feel like I was robbed of watching this great team, you know, go to the Final Four or play in a championship just because they had one bad day. I don't want that. You know, you have a situation right now where, you know, look at North Carolina. North Carolina got knocked out in the first round. They lost their head coach, Hubert Davis, out. He's out. Meanwhile, 2 years ago, he's in the national championship game. His team was coasting until his best player got hurt this season. And they didn't win another game. I don't want to see that, man. I don't want to see that. You know, I want to see the best teams play each other on the best stage. So I don't, you know, right now I think it's Texas, Nebraska. I guess an argument can be made for Iowa. You know, they're like the Cinderella teams, but like you said, they're big time programs. So it's not that much of a surprise that they're in this still. It's more of a surprise from like a standpoint of, damn, they bought enough players to make it this far,
right?
You know, it's that part. I mean, when you think about it, there's no allegiances anymore. There's no allegiances in college sports and college basketball. You got guys leaving North Carolina to go to St. John's. Are you kidding me? You had an All-American in Ian Jackson playing for North Carolina, and he left North Carolina to go to St. John's. Huh?
That's ridiculous.
I'm Johnny. I'm an alumni. I'm a big St. John's fan, but what? You have Boogie Flan, who's a White Plains kid. He's from Westchester County. He went and played for Arkansas. This year, he played for Florida. Dude, huh? What? That made no sense. So you got Flan going to Arkansas and then Florida, and you got Ian Jackson, a Bronx kid, goes to North Carolina and then comes back to St. John's. It's just silly. It's silly. You know, but I think, like you said, you're going to see less of the sweetheart story, less of the Sweet 16, less of, because they're just not going to be able to get it. They're not going to be able to get that enough talent just for that game.
No, and that's the thing. Even when you have teams crop up that have talent, they're not long for that school. Because look at all the coaches that have already been hired based on what they've done in the tournament. So it's one of those things that it's bound to be an inequity. Because the big schools, like even Texas isn't 11 seed. right?
Right.
Like, they're still a big school, right? They're not Utah State at 9. They're not Utah State. But if they come around and they hire Utah State's coach, and then all his recruits go with him, suddenly number 11 Texas probably ends up in the number 7 range. So you're right, there is no allegiance. You know, there's some allegiance to the coach, because you have to wonder why Boogie Flan would end up in Arkansas. And, you know, it's just kind of random. But
UConn,
you know,
you didn't go to UConn?
Yeah.
You tell me Danny Hurley didn't fucking call you.
Like, probably, what? No. Of course not. And you've got like RJ Lewis, who's still trying to make his way back in. Jeez, so good for you, buddy.
Nothing but, in the world worse than wasted talent.
No.
It just, I don't know. For me, I don't know what they're going to do about it. It's a shit system. You know, there's no allegiance anywhere. You know, because let's be real, Z. I mean, it's cute that Iowa and Nebraska made it, but most of the time, what we're looking at between 1 and 5 mm-hmm. getting into the final yeah. fours, 1 seeds, 2 seeds, 3 seeds, 5 seeds, 4 seeds. I don't think we're going to see a 9.
No.
I don't think we're going to see an 11. Nine.
Yet. No. Yet.
Cream rises to the top, right?
It does, absolutely.
You've also got elite coaches left, right? That's the other problem you're going to run into for some of these smaller schools. Yeah. You know, was that a Wichita State? Wichita State was going by people hitting threes, the Shockers.
Yeah.
You call the Shocker. You shock people. Yeah, they were hitting threes, and they were playing solid defense with Van Fleet.
When Seton Hall made the run with Shaheen Holloway as the coach.
Yes.
So
Johnnies are there. I'm excited about that. They've got a big game against Duke, and Duke is down some of their players, so they've got a chance.
They do.
Patino looking sharp, looking like the godfather.
Patino,
looks like he can write the ship there.
Patino, Hurley, Izzo, like, it's kind of ridiculous.
Bill Self is gone.
Bill Self
that
is
game
out.
Was interesting because it looked like Bill Self was like over this season. None of these motherfuckers listen to me, so
no. But I called that shit, dude. Like, Bill Self is he has his chip, but he only gets you so far. It happened at Missouri too.
But they won like 2 years ago, didn't they? 3 years ago?
Yeah, but he's got a ceiling. Like, he definitely does.
He has a ceiling, but I think he's a damn good coach. Like, even Stan Van Gundy was saying, like, he's like, they practice all this stuff in practice this week, and his team's not doing any of it. They weren't, because they're all doing their thing. The team he had this year were just a bunch of guys looking out for themselves, and it all came to a head when you're playing up against Rick Pitino and guys from Queens who are going to play defense. They're going to deny you the ball. They play you full court press. They couldn't even get the fucking ball in. They couldn't get the ball in. And they didn't even know what to do. They had to change the guy inbounding the ball because they were so disconnected and so not on the same page. They weren't running plays. It was a one-man show for Peterson. And St. John's is helping him start his NBA draft.
For sure. But then you wonder, Nick Saban got out for that reason. He was ahead of the curve in that regard. Is Bill Self going to go that way as well? I could probably see that.
Yeah, I think Bill Self sounds like he's coming back, even though there was a little trepidation, a little doubt, shortly after the loss, shortly before the loss. But he's coming back. I mean, it's Kansas. He's going to get really good players in the middle of the country. He produces NBA players, much like John Calipari did. So I just wonder, I think there comes a point, like you said, where you just like, whatever, guys. I don't fucking care. You know, you guys aren't listening.
I get paid either way.
Whatever. It's your loss. I know what I'm talking about. You guys don't. You know, what are you? And that's, I think, what happened with in Alabama with Nick Saban, like you said. Just guys, I'm out.
And that's how Bill Self ends up at a school like Iona.
Oh, God. But, no, I mean, North Carolina needs a coach.
You're not wrong.
From Kansas to North Carolina, right?
Yeah, I mean, is he an alum, though? Like, North Carolina might be going the alum route. Yeah, he might be going, they might be going the alumni route, just like Duke did with John Shire and Jerry McNamara.
Word on the street is they're looking for someone outside of North Carolina.
Interesting.
I thought, because there, I mean, the person I thought of first was, I thought of like Billy Donovan. He's the only person I thought of. He was the first person.
Interesting.
If you're going to go outside of Carolina. You know, and then you wonder, well, could you get a Steve Kerr? You know, or, you know, could you get a Shaka Smart? You know, because Hubert Davis is a good coach.
Yeah.
But who's the guy that's going to get people to come here?
Right.
You know, I'm not going to go play for North Carolina. What about Kenny Smith? Kenny Smith was another name I thought of.
Mark Jackson?
Kenny, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, Mark Jackson's effectively blackballed from the NBA. If he really wants to coach, why not go to the college ranks?
Yeah.
But could you imagine that? You have Bill Belichick, and then if you bring in Steve Kerr to be the head, like, you, the coaching you have here for your programs.
Really, it's a shit show right
now. Yeah.
They're a mess. It's just like, whatever, what happened to this school? What happened to this? But, I mean, word on the streets, they're trying to get outside of the, they're trying to get outside the Carolina. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Hypernatural, the best men's polo shirts of 2024 as voted by Men's Journal. Hypernatural offers polos, tees, and button-ups that deliver an unmatched comfort and style, featuring Hypercool J technology for natural cooling. Enjoy an exclusive discount with my promo code DANDZ, and that can be used at hypernaturalstyle.com.
The NBA Players Association is calling for an abolishment or an amendment to the 65-game eligibility for awards rule. Interesting, because they just signed this rule. They just signed this into play. This comes on the heels of Cade Cunningham suffering a collapsed lung during the regular season. Looks like he's going to not play the rest of the season. He's having a career year. His injury will likely keep him out until the start of the playoffs. So should the rule be amended, abolished, or left in place?
You guys going to start playing back-to-backs again? You're going to start, managing your own loads? Is that... That's the reason why that I can't carry this load, man. It's so heavy. But that's the point. That's the reason why this stupid rule exists. Because you guys don't want to play. This is Adam Silver's latest limp-wristed, ham-fisted way to try and get you guys to play. And it still doesn't work. What's going to make you guys, what's going to incentivize NBA players to play? I don't know. I mean, it always comes back to relegation for me. That's about it. If the embarrassment...
And you might be... I don't know how it would work, but you might be onto something.
Embarrassment of having to go to Santa Cruz. No offense to the fine people of Santa Cruz, but you're not an NBA level... You're not an NBA level city. But imagine...
The Kings of Sacramento. Yeah,
right, of course. But, you know, the Wizards... having to go down to the G League and playing like the Tulsa Drillers or whatever their name is, the Tulsa name is, or going playing the Westchester Knicks. You were at the Garden and now you got to play the Westchester County Center. Like, it's a huge drop off. No offense to the Westchester County Center. It's a fine building. White Plains is a wonderful city. I worked there over the summer. Like, no, it's just not the same as going to the Mecca in Madison Square Garden. Like, I don't know what is going to make these guys play, but that is what needs to happen. If you guys played, this stupid rule would not be in place. So that's kind of where we are right now. So I say leave it in place until these mofos start playing. Like, that's it. That's all that's all gonna happen.
You agreed to this.
Yes.
The players agreed to this. So no, you don't get to renege on it now just because, you know, you realize this was a bad idea. You know?
Oh yeah, yeah.
So no, this has to stay in place. Sorry, Chale.
Nope.
And you know, in this situation, unfortunately, it's kind of warranted. I mean, he suffered a collapsed lung. Like, he's fucking hurt. He's seriously hurt. That's a serious issue. I don't even know how this happened to this poor guy. So no, I don't think you get to just say this isn't gonna work for us now. And then maybe next season you work on something a little better, a little something more suited. Maybe if you bring it down to, you know, I think now it's 65. Maybe you bring it down to 62. Maybe that's the difference. You can miss 20 games. I think, you know, one of the things, though, we talked about a couple weeks ago is I do think the league is heading in the right direction with the next crop of young guys. I mean, you have Wemby. Openly saying that he wants to win the MVP award, he wants to earn it, and he's going out there every night and trying his best. And that's the attitude that the NBA needs. You need more players like Wemby that love the game and want to play the game, regardless of what the coaches say, regardless of what the general managers say. I'm going out there. Take this jersey off me if you don't want me to go out there. But I'm going out there and I'm playing. Because that's the other thing that I think teams fail to realize. Like, you know what? You don't want your guy to play tonight. Well, play him 15 minutes. Play him 10 minutes. Play him, you know, don't just put him in street clothes and put him on the bench. And that's, you know, that's where they're missing up. That's where they're missing. But I guess in the sense of players are worried about losing, you know, their averages and their incentives and all this other, and all this other garbage that they throw into their contracts. But yeah, I don't think you get to just take it away.
No.
But let me ask you a question. How good is Wembanyama?
He's damn good.
Like, if I told you you can have Wembanyama or you could have the first pick in the upcoming draft,
Wemby. What
would you take?
Wemby.
What if I gave you the first two picks in the draft?
Wemby. You can give me the first five picks. You give me
the first five picks.
Give me the first five. Wemby.
Wemby still, man.
He'll cook them all. He will cook them all.
I don't know. If I could get the first five, so I can get the kid from Arkansas, right?
Cuff. You'll get Peterson.
I'm going to get DeBanza, which is almost like a Kevin Durant type player.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And they won't be able to solve Wemby. They won't be able to. Like, that's the thing. He's a big, right?
I'm going to get the kid from North Carolina that's been hurt, too.
Yeah.
He's really good.
He's tall. He's long. He's wiry. But he can shoot. He's got a mid-range game. He can play down low. He plays defense.
He plays defense.
None of these guys can hang with him.
None of these guys
can. None of them. Absolutely none of them can hang with him. Maybe in the future they can, but coming, you know, wet behind the ears out of college... Fuck no. No way. Like, Cooper Flagg was a different kind of guy. Right? Are these guys on Cooper Flagg's level? Mm. Would you say?
I think the band is.
Okay, so he may have a chance against Wemby. He may have a puncher's chance. The other guys? Nah. Mister, I'm saving my stock for the NBA draft. I'm good.
Peterson?
Yeah. No. Coach, the scouts already had that written down. Kid's got no heart.
Dude.
Yeah. Ugly girlfriend, no confidence. More Labs Morning Recovery is the number one alcohol recovery supplement that helps you wake up clear-headed and refreshed. Clinically proven and trusted by thousands, with 20 million plus bottles sold and a 4.9 star rating, it works. Try it risk-free. free. Enjoy an exclusive 25% off discount on any product using our promo code DNZ at morelabs.com. That's 25% off using the promo code DNZ. morelabs.com.
All right, well, the Super Bowl dates and locations are usually planned years in advance. We expect Super Bowl in 2029 to be in Vegas, but we don't have a date yet. People are speculating that the NFL will add a game to the regular season in 2029. They will also add in an extra bye and possibly add a stipulation that players can only play in 17 games. The Super Bowl would be played the day before President's Day, and the majority of America would be off on Super Bowl Monday. Thoughts on this speculation?
I like the President's Day Super Bowl idea. I like having Super Bowl Monday off as a national holiday. I think it's long overdue that that happens. How do we get there, though? NFLPA is not going to add an 18th game. They're not going. So I just don't know. And it becomes complicated when you're adding the stipulation and the second bye week and how are you going to make that work. Where there's a will, there's a way. But I think that the NFL is violent enough as it is. It's injury-inducing enough as it is. It's risky enough as it is. I just don't think that they would willingly... I don't think they would willingly add on this other game just for another bye week. Like, I think there's got to be something else. Like, and then the only 17 games. But what if they've reached their 17th game and you're fighting for a playoff spot? It's like, ah, fuck, I'm at my 17 game limit. Sorry, coach. Fuck you mean? Like, imagine if the Ravens were fighting for a playoff spot and Trey Hendrickson said, coach, I can't play. Or they have to start Tyler Huntley because Lamar Jackson hit his 17 game. Tyler Huntley trying there's to play them at the playoff.
No, the facts are these. There's not a lot of guys that play every game.
It's true.
Those are facts. I'd say less than 70% of your team plays every game.
Yeah. No, they're not Bruce Matthews. I'm aware of that, but it's like... The timing of it all it can be problematic if it's not done right. Then you start managing players. And then it becomes the NBA with load management.
Yep. That's what they want. They want to play an NFL game every day. The season's going to open up on Wednesday this year.
Mm-hmm.
Long ago, we thought it was impossible to play a game on a Tuesday. They did it.
Yeah. So, you know, there's back, a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
They wouldn't play a game on Christmas. Remember they said they wouldn't play games on Christmas? Well, guess what? They'll play games on Christmas now.
But you can thank the NBA for that. The NBA has become such dog shit. The NFL saw a little sliver of light, and they're like, we can compete. We're good. We're all right. But I see the NFL.
The only thing the NFL has to figure out is Friday and Saturday. But other than that, they can play a game every day. Every day.
Right, because they run into conflict with college. Right, so...
On Friday, you're going to lose out to high school football in Texas. Yeah. And on Saturdays, you're going to lose out to college football.
Right.
And the only way you'll wind up getting those days back in November and December. But they've got to find a way to get around it.
Yeah. And we were talking about this. Logistically, that's a nightmare. Because you're throwing out games on a Tuesday. And then, okay.
Your product's going to suffer, but no one cares about the product anymore. They don't care about that. If you cared about the product, you'd play your four preseason games and you'd have stuck to a 16-game season. But you don't care. The first four games are dog shit. They're dog shit. You got people going off sides. You got people that don't know the playbook. You have people that don't belong in the National Football League. How you don't, you know, they don't need to evaluate players in a preseason game, huh?
What? That's ridiculous.
Do you remember Zach Wilson? Fucking calling plays in the preseason?
A joke.
Motherfucker, you need every rep you can get.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you're not calling plays in the preseason? You only played one series? They did you dirty, dude.
Mm-hmm.
New member of the New Orleans Saints, by the way.
Yes, and we'll get to him in a little while. But it's just... you're right. They just don't... There's a less of an emphasis on the quality of the product. And that's also come with the elimination of two-a-days. Now you have padded practices, you know, joint practices in lieu of scrimmages, in lieu of preseason games. And that ends up in fights anyway. How many times
do you have to see it? Those are so stupid.
Yeah. Like, it's a...
Team scrimmages are a bad idea.
Dump.
It's bad.
Dump. So, it's one of those things that the NFLPA got its way. And ultimately, the product is suffering for it. Now, are the players healthier? Not really. You're not seeing as many preseason injuries. You're not seeing training camp injuries at the level you used to. But now the first couple weeks of the season, because guys aren't in game shape yet, they're on a pitch count, and then you get hurt. So there's a fine line here that needs to be threaded. And
I think if you're a small market team, you love this because this gives you more opportunity. This gives you more cash, right? At the end of the game, it's all about more money, right?
Right.
So that's all you care about.
You know, get another game.
I can put a competent team out there, and in the NFL, there's turnover, right? I mean, the bad teams get more draft picks, and they get more of an opportunity to float to the top. Everybody in the NFL gets usually like a 4-year win. Every team gets a chance every 4 years to get their team back into position to compete.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could even look at a team like the Jets. They went through, people forget, but they went through a stretch where they were going to AFC title games. They were competitive. And then you make some terrible draft picks and you make some terrible trades, and now you're where you are.
Right.
You know, you had players, you had a quarterback that you drafted just go win the Super Bowl. You gave him up for Ugas. So and that's on you, brah.
And
then you have a team like the Chicago Bears who drafted Mitchell Trubisky, wasn't the guy, sucked it up. Now they have Caleb Williams. And he's like, look, he's competent. He's a competent quarterback. He's okay. You have the Buffalo Bills. They've got their guy. Like, the thing that the NFL doesn't realize is they have something that none of the other sports have. Every single game counts. And if you go and add games, water down your product, play games on a Monday or a Tuesday when teams really can't... The Thursday games are terrible.
No.
Thursday games are absolutely fucking terrible. It doesn't matter if you're playing a division opponent or they make you fly across the country for your fucking Thursday night game. It is abysmal. You have no time to prepare for your opponent. And you're still tired from getting your head kicked in on Sunday night football, Monday night football, or Sunday on the East Coast or Sunday on the West Coast. You know? It's almost... I would argue that some teams chalk it up as a loss. And they're like, it's just whatever we were running on Sunday, let's just run it on Thursday and let's just get to the next game. You're going to eliminate the chances of undefeated seasons or one or two lost seasons. All that shit's out the door. You keep adding games.
I would suggest, and they would never do this because it would take too much money out of their coffers. If you're going to do this, eliminate international play. Like, you're not sending me to fucking Zurich and then play 18 games.
Australia.
Right. Mexico. You're not sending me to Riyadh. No, I'm not going. You can't make me. I'm not playing a regular season game in Reykjavik. No. But it's just something needs to give. Something needs to break. And with this, plus the international schedule, plus it's going to be the players. I think you're going to see more injuries. You're going to see dog shit football. And it's just going to be, the steady decline that we've noticed in the past few seasons. And there's a way, I mean, you can push the season. Like I'm sure there's a way for you to do the scheduling that creates that President's Day game. I'm sure there is, whether it's a week, you know, an extra week. I don't know. Or spacing out the playoffs more or something. But I think you need to get creative with that. Asking the players to play more is just a recipe for disaster. And I think that's just going to eventually lead to some enmity between the Players Association and the owners. And that one won't be solved very quickly.
Elevate your coffee routine with Strong Coffee Company's Black Instant Blend and lattes. Both feature organic coffee, protein, MCTs, and adaptogens for sustained energy and mental clarity. You can use our discount, DANDZ, and you can use that code at strongcoffeecompany.com.
Time to put some grades in. Welcome to the classroom. All right, boys and girls, take out a piece of paper and a pencil. Have a seat. Welcome to the classroom. D and I have statements, and we assign letter grades for them. And if you have something that you want us to grade, hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com. Slide in our DMs on IG at faderoutepodcast, or drop us a line on X at faderoutednz. Statement number one, grade Syracuse-UConn women's NCAA tournament game.
F. Absolute F. 98-45 was the final score. I think at one point in the third quarter, it was like 82-27. This was a one seed against a nine seed. These are top tier programs, and this is the talent gap. It was, I'm going to be honest, it was embarrassing. It's embarrassing. And it's embarrassing for UConn, not for Syracuse. UConn had the home game because that's how the women's college bracket works. You don't play the neutral site. But if you're Gino Auriemma, you got to look at the other side and just be like, I got to take out some of these guys or girls. I got to take out some of these ladies. Let's run down the shot clock. Let's do this. Let's do that. You had to know at halftime how much better you were than this team.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, you know, I don't like when people mock the game. I don't like when people make fun of the game. There's a lot of times that I remember as a kid playing in the park, playing basketball. And there were times when we played against people that were way better than us. And they would joke around and mess around and play, you know, do globetrotter things and, you know, be silly with the ball. And I always thought they were making fun of the game. And I didn't like that, you know? And that's the kind of feeling I got when I watched this. So you're taking advantage. Taking advantage of another school and their talent level just because, you know, you're UConn and you're able to recruit the best players in the country to come play there.
And you took it to Syracuse in a way you didn't have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whether you win by 2 or win by 50, winning is winning. And I didn't like what I saw. That was ugly.
And there are no style points, 100%. But they're not the only ones who did it. LSU destroyed Texas Tech, 101-47. Right? Texas destroyed Oregon, 100-58. So,
what does that say about the women's game? What is this product?
I don't know. But even, I mean, Bill Belichick has been guilty of, not that it's an apples to apples comparison, but he's been guilty of running the score up, you know? Mm-hmm. But that's a professional league. It's something different.
That's right.
Here, it's disrespectful. And this is the kind of shit that would lead to somebody throwing hands. This is right? when things get that ugly and that out of control.
Start clipping people.
And right, people's pride gets hurt. And that's when shit goes sideways. F. Like, there's no other way that you can slice this. You can't paint this as a good thing. Like, it's not on aggregate. You're not looking at point differential as a tiebreaker. This is one and done. You're just making a point at this point. And what point is that? That we're so much better than you that we can even put our bench in and they can kick your ass. But right. we're not dribbling it out. We're not taking shot clock violations. We're not doing any of that. We're not dribbling it down to one and taking a shot. We're not you know, trimming clock at all. No, we're just gonna ram it down your throat. And that's disrespectful. That's disrespectful for your opponent. That's disrespectful to the game. I agree. And that's when people's feelings get hurt, and that is when shit goes south. Grade, the new WNBA collective bargaining agreement.
Okay, yeah, so this was a big deal. You know, the sides were very far apart at one point. And some of the key things that we have, the salary cap's going from $1.5 million to $7 million. Average salary will be roughly $600,000. That's up from $120,000. You got Supermax salary starts at $1.4 million. Now it's just $270,000. They're going to be adding some games. The players get 20% of the revenue. I don't know what revenue there is. And, you know, they get health care. They're getting boosts to 401k contributions, mental health coverage, child care support. Kids under 13 can travel with the team. It's very nice. Chartered flights. And they're going to improve the facility standards. So, you know, considering what they were asking for and considering where they are, I'd say it's a B. But what I would argue, and I don't know if you feel the same way, I think the owners kind of got what they wanted here. I don't think this hurts them at all. I think this is kind of what they were looking to agree to. So I don't see anything here that I was like, man, the players really got over in them on this one, you know? So,
right.
So I think it's a B for both sides.
So 1.5 to 7 mil, that's a big jump. Salaries are going to go up just naturally because you have more room to spend. You have the lifestyle and amenities additions, the revenue sharing. Like, it's a win. It's a huge win for the WNBA, but it's a win for the owners too.
Right.
And that's great because things seem to be so far apart. It seemed to be so desperate that you weren't sure if there was going to be a season or if there was a season, if it was going to start on time.
Right.
One of the interesting things that they were talking about that I don't know if it made its way in was that you had to get player consent for a trade if they were pregnant.
Wow.
So that's actually an interesting move because you really don't want, I mean, you don't want to uproot a family. And that's actually, like, if that was included, I know they were discussing it, that is huge, you know, because, okay, you know, that's a huge lifestyle change. So you definitely have to consider those things. And that's kind of progressive in terms of acknowledging the fact that off the court matters just as much as on the court. And for that regard, I'm going to give it a B+. I think they did a really good job here. And both sides won. And I would like to see how this affects Unrivaled. Like, do you need Unrivaled now? Or is it just like a winter league just for you to stay in shape and just kind of like stay in tune? But yeah, like you got to be really enthused about this if you're a fan of women's basketball, because you will be seeing it on your television, you'll be seeing it in person, and you'll also be keeping the best players here. They won't have to go abroad to earn their money. Like Brittany Griner won't have to go back to Russia. Diana Taurasi won't have to play in Greece. You know, like you can keep your best players here, and that can only serve to grow your product. So B+, I think that they did a bang up job here. Grade the Saints signing Zach Wilson.
He's on his fourth team, I think, in 5 years.
Yeah.
I mean, world needs plenty of bartenders. I don't know. Can he even make this team? I don't even know if he can make this team. Uh, 12-21 in 3 seasons with the New York Jets. Yikes.
Ooh.
11 passing attempts for 32 yards and no touchdowns. He appeared in 4 games last season. God. Yeah, I'm going to give it an F. I mean, the only thing I could say is that, you know, if you're the Saints, you're like, wow, we just signed like a first round pick, you know, for nothing.
Yeah.
That's about it. But I thought he was going to be unemployed this year. So the fact that he actually got a job is impressive. So I give it an F.
What's interesting is that he and Tyler Shook were in the same recruiting class.
Nice.
Tyler Shook is in his second year in the NFL, and Zach Wilson is on his fourth team in 5 years. Ooh, that's pretty bad.
I wonder if Joe Douglas looks back and is like, tries to defend that pick. You think he tries to defend that pick?
He has to.
You think Robert Saleh somewhere is looking back and thinking, yeah, that was our guy? Or do you think he's even realized, like, man, what the fuck were we thinking?
Oh, he's gonna be busy trying to ruin Cam Ward. And he's got his own problems now. He got an extra bite at the apple. It's amazing to me that Robert Saleh got an extra bite at the apple, and Joe Douglas will probably never get another GM job. Right?
No. I would.
No.
And I don't think, yeah. They begged him to go there. I remember when he went there. Because they begged him to go there.
Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. You got to give it an F. You figure he's competing for the backup job with Spencer Rattler. Is he better than Spencer Rattler?
No.
No.
No. Absolutely
no.
Not.
No.
I'd rather have Rattler.
No,
I don't even know if he's going to make the team. I thought he was going to be unemployed this year.
He's there just to build a practice squad. I mean, if the Jets are seriously in the mood about reconciliations, you already brought back Geno Smith. Why not?
Bring him back.
Why the fuck not?
I'm aboard.
He's better than Brady Cook, though. Like, Zach Wilson's better than Brady Cook.
I don't know, man. Brady Cook runs in the right direction. This motherfucker runs backward. Zach, where are you going? Throw the ball away, damn it.
Jesus Christ. But it's amazing. Number two pick, all the promise, and just completely just whiffed. A complete and total fucking whiff.
And the dude had, like, opportunities, right?
Yeah.
He had chances to get better. I'm pretty sure he was in Denver with Sean Payton.
Yeah.
He was in Miami with Mike McDaniels.
They said, we're going to start, like, Quinn Ewers over you.
Yeah. Listen, we're going with Quinn.
What? I'm sorry?
That's it. Got you nothing else for you, Zach.
Yeah. Zach, you we're going to start. We're going to. Jared Stidham's our guy. He's our number two. Jared Stidham is our number
two. We're going to put Tua back in. He had a concussion. Yeah, still. He still makes better decisions than you do.
He runs forward. Yeah. He runs forward. But I still... There's still something about Zach Wilson because of his arm talent. He'll get chance after chance after chance after chance after chance.
I think he's out of chances. I don't know if anybody else would have taken him. Oh man.
I mean, if that was the case, just go to the UFL. Like, you'll play in the UFL.
I think he'd be a fine UFL player. I don't know why his agent hasn't kind of told him that. Hey man, it's okay.
Yeah. Look at a guy like Matt Corral. He washed out of the NFL. He's playing in the UFL.
Yes. Yes, Matt Corral. Yeah. Yes.
So you won't be the first highly regarded NFL quarterback to go play there, you know? And who knows? You may resurrect your career. PJ Walker was an NFL washout, but he made his way back. And he actually started for the Carolina Panthers at one point. So...
Really thought his time was up. I didn't think he had any more time left.
Yeah. So maybe that's something. You know, it's the UFL's expanding. They added two teams this season, I think. They had Louisville and another one. But you know, why not? Like, go there, extend your career, and you'll actually play as opposed to like getting the backup his Gatorade. You know, that's it seems like a no-brainer to me, but I mean, it's an F for the Saints. It doesn't do anything for them. It's an F for Zach Wilson. It doesn't do anything for him. And I don't know. Like, I think...
I don't know.
I think that you're right. I don't know if he makes it through training camp. I really... And the draft hasn't even happened. They may take a freaking quarterback in the sixth round. Why not?
You tell me there isn't 10 guys in the college that have more upside than Zach Wilson?
At this point... That sounds about right.
My neighbor's kid has more upside than Zach Wilson. He didn't even play football. Son, I want you to take this ball and throw it to that person over there and only run forward. You can do that. Seems simple enough. Yes, I know.
It does
seem simple enough, doesn't it?
You got it. I got you. And yeah.
I won't let you down.
And yet, oh God, fucking Zach Wilson. I just don't get it. Those are our grades. What are yours? Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com. Slide in our DMs on IG @faderoutepodcast and drop us a line on X @faderoutednz and let us know your grades. But for now, class dismissed.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much. With FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. FCKCloud.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast, and you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. The winner said vote gets a shout in this year's show. Takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy, D?
You don't.
That would be AFCON. Rumor has it that Senegal still has possession of the trophy, and it is behind a gate, and there is military guarding that trophy. So good luck, Morocco, trying to get that AFCON trophy away from Senegal. You probably should have upheld the original result. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week?
All right, so first up, I've got Major League Baseball Opening Day 2026. Giants, Yankees, and it's on Netflix. What the ferk? Come on, Rob. What are you doing? What are we doing? This game should be prime time for all to see. 4, 5, 2, 11. ESPN, worst case scenario. But how about MLB Network and make MLB Network free that day for everybody? But Netflix, dude? Netflix? Mountain Dew logo behind the mound? Ah. Major League Baseball, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Next, I've got the NBA Players Association reneging or reagging or going back on the 65 game rule for awards the same year it's put into place. You agreed to this. And what, because Cade Cunningham is hurt, you see that this was a bad idea? How about you just play the damn games and we wouldn't have to have this thing in place? NBA Players Association, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Last but not least, UConn women's head coach Gino Auriemma, friend of the program. Up 82-27 in the third quarter of the women's NCAA bracket. Yeah. You're a one seed against nine. Respect the game. Honor the game. Don't do that to those girls. Not right. Gino Auriemma, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. What do you got, Zeke?
I mean, good choice. You can't really go wrong with that. Rob Manfred is currently talking on the broadcast. So he looks very proud of himself. He looks so proud of himself. His puffer vest. God damn it. Fucking Rob Manfred. I'm going to start with Tottenham. In a fight for relegation in the Premier League, and you get skunked 3-0 by Nottingham Forest, a team that is right there with you in the relegation race to the bottom. Tottenham was 16th, Forest was 17th. Not so much anymore, my friend. Now Tottenham is 17th. So they're this close, and they are hanging on by a thread. How a mighty Premier League power has fallen in recent years. Tottenham Hotspur, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number two, MLS officials during the NYCFC Inter Miami game. Inter Miami keeper Dane St. Clair clearly playing the ball outside of the box. Now, as we know, that is denial of a goal-scoring opportunity and an automatic red card. Apparently not if you're on Inter Miami, because you have clear video evidence and no call was made. No call was made whatsoever. After the match, the referees said there was no definitive angle that showed you that St. Clair was clearly out of the box. And yet, everybody who was watching Apple TV could pause. And if you're watching on your phone, you could zoom in and you could clearly see there was about a foot and a half of space between Dane St. Clair and the box. Yeah. That's a bad look right there. If you can see it at home, you gotta call it. MLS officials for NYCFC Inter Miami, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, they're back, the New York Rangers. So,
last place, New York Rangers.
Fucking hell. There's only two teams worse than the New York Rangers this year. It's fucking pathetic. Their 100th anniversary, and this is the shit that they put out there. It was a good game. We went on Sunday, Rangers Jets. It was a spirited affair. They showed some moxie. They got it to the shootout and then got spanked in the freaking shootout. You know, shout out to Dylan Garand for making his NHL debut. Didn't do poorly, looked pretty decent. And then came Monday night against the Senators. Mika Zibanejad's 1,000th career NHL game against the team that originally drafted him. It's very interesting. Not only did the Rangers lose, but they managed 9 shots on goal in a 60-minute hockey game. They managed 9 shots on goal. How do you do that? I think that if we got a bunch of people out on skates, we can manage 9 shots on goal. We could probably get 10. What the hell is going on with the Rangers? I have no idea what they're bottoming out for. But, and even then, there's no guarantee that Drury's going to get it right anyway. So it's another example of this lost season at the Garden. New York Rangers, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote and vote and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.